Good morning. Thank you for coming out on such a wet day. When I left this morning, I forgot to check the weather and didn't realize, you know, how close this typhoon is to us. Anybody here get wet besides me? Okay. So we're all in it together. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rich Myers. For those of you new, I'm still Rich Myers. Okay. And it's been a long time since my family and I have been here to OIC. We've been attending a local Japanese church near our house, and to be able to get to know the people in our area and to share with them. Dan asked me a long time ago if I would do this, so it's kind of like I'm the last pinch hitter before he comes back next week. I trust that you've been hearing some good messages, and I hope that today will also be a good one. Before we start, I'd like to go ahead and pray. You join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to give you all the grace, great praise and honor who you are. You have loved us and care for us, and even in the midst of things like typhoons and earthquakes and other things, God, you have demonstrated your magnificence and glory to us. We want to give you thanks for this time. Thank you, Father, for those who are here this morning, being able to brave the storm, to be able to come together, to praise you, to worship you, to fellowship together. Father, for those who haven't been able to come, for whatever reasons, we pray, God, that you will bless them today, that they will also be close to you throughout this day, that through this day, that you will rejuvenate your children throughout this country, helping them to realize how much you care and love us, and that you want us to live for you each and every day. Pray that you'll be with these words, be with Kotio as she translates, and may it all be a blessing and honor and praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I heard a story about this old man. He was married to this woman, and suddenly she went into a coma. He was very upset. He called the doctor. The doctor came and examined her, and sadly he said to him, "I'm really sorry, but your wife is dead. I'll call the morticians and make all the arrangements." As the people from the funeral home came, and they were getting ready to take, they were taking the body back to the funeral home to prepare for the funeral. They were walking down some stairs, and at the corner, there was a holly bush. A holly bush. For those of you who don't know what a holly bush is, in Japan, they're very, very common. They put them in the god door area, but it's got thick leaves. It's really pointy. If you ever touch the leaves, it's like, ouch. So they were walking down. One of them was carrying the stretcher. He saw the bush. He was trying to get it around so he didn't fall into it, and he lost his balance. He dropped the stretcher. The stretcher fell on the ground, jolted, and the woman went, "Huh?" It jolted the woman awake. "What?" The doctor examined her, and after a few weeks, she made a full recovery. Wow! Well, she lived well for several years, and then several years later, it happened again. She went into a coma. And this time the doctor said, "You know, I'm really, really sorry to say this, but she is definitely dead this time." And she goes, "I'll call the undertakers again." So he called the undertakers again. They came. They were taking the stretcher down the stairs. And the husband says to the first guy, says, "Be careful of the holly bush." Now, okay. Sometimes, we may not even realize it, but we are dead also, and something just needs to jolt us awake. The things that we may be dead from may not necessarily be the same as physically dead. We may be spiritually dead. And what we want to share with you today is for us to realize that, particularly in the passage that we're working with, is that we need to realize whether or not we're dead. And if we are dead, how we can be made alive. We need to look at Jesus with the authority to give life, but also to cause judgment. We need to realize that the only way that we can live is life through Christ. And then finally, after we physically die, we will be resurrected. But where we'll be resurrected to depends on our choices today. So today, I'd like to share with you from John chapter 5, verses 25 through 28. And This may sound a little bit like, yakimashi, okay? But I'd like us to go ahead and read this passage together. If you'd like to read the English, that's great. If you'd like to read the Japanese, that's fine too. All right? Ja, ise no. I'm going to go ahead and read the English, okay? Ha, ise no. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Now let's take a look at the first part. Truly, truly. Truly, truly. This word truly, truly comes from the Hebrew word which we use as amen. Amen? Amen. Amen means so be it. How many parents do we have here? Okay. Probably when your kids were little, you didn't say, don't do that. Probably you had to say, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Okay? As a teacher, many times I'll say, stop, 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 stop. Okay? Jesus here is using that same idea of saying truly, truly, because he wants his hearers to know what he's about to say is really, really important. He uses this phrase in the Gospel of John alone almost 20 times. So what he's about to say is really, really important for his people to hear. Now, we go on to say, I say to you. You say, well, you know, I said this to you. What we have to realize is that Jesus is saying this because he has authority to say what he's going to say. Where does that authority come from? Well, let's take a look at who Jesus is. First of all, this authority is given to Jesus because he is the Son of God. Now, the Bible makes that reference, but he's recognized as the Son of God, not just by himself, but his disciples recognize it, angels recognize it, demons recognize him as the Son of God, Satan recognizes him as the Son of God. Non-Jewish people, like the centurion at the cross, saw Jesus as the Son of God. And the writers of the New Testament, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, also recognized Jesus as the Son of God. So we see that he has this authority as the Son of God. It was given to God the Son by God the Father. Now, he goes on to say, an hour is coming and is now here. If you were listening to Jesus at that time, you would think, now. We're listening to Jesus now, thinking, now. Some of us may be thinking, then. Then is now, and now is then. No, sorry, sorry, that's not it. That's not it. Sorry for making it confusing here. But Jesus is actually referring to two separate incidences. Both of them have not yet happened. One of the incidences has to do with the resurrections that he's about to fulfill. The resurrection of the widow's son, the resurrection of Jairus' daughter, and the resurrection of Lazarus. These haven't happened yet when he said this. But we also see that he's making some reference to not only physical resurrection, but also to spiritual resurrection. Now, this spiritual resurrection is available to everyone who has heard and received his gift of salvation. Now, in receiving this gift of salvation, we Christians realize, that one, we are sinners. We can't save ourselves. We need to be forgiven for our sins. We also realize that we need to confess our sins. Even as Christians today, we sin. How many of you sin? Okay. It's just a part of our nature. And so with that, we need to confess our sins. There are times when we have to ask others to forgive us. And there are times when we have to forgive others. All of these things are part of this resurrection of spiritual life. Now, as I mentioned, when the dead, see, take a look at that, when the dead. As I mentioned, he has not yet raised anybody from the dead. The Jewish people already believed that there was such a thing as a resurrection at the end time. And there are some stories in the Old Testament about resurrection. But these people are thinking, resurrection? The dead rising? Oh, that's kind of weird. And so, but we also have to think about, not only are we talking about the physical resurrection that's about to happen, but the spiritual resurrection. Resurrection from spiritual deadness. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." Now take a look there. This verse specifically says we are dead in our sins. Colossians verses 2, 13 and 14 makes that same reference. "And you were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together," and we'll go on to that one, "but dead in our sins." Now, we think about this. How can we be dead? Sin. We are familiar. We've heard of sin. Sin is not just doing bad. Sin is separation from God. We have made choices. We have done things. We have attitudes which have caused us to be separated from God. And basically, we are disobeying His law. And because of our disobedience, our free choice to disobey, we have become dead. Now, I'm gonna ask you this, okay? When we become sinful, when we become focused on ourselves, we don't focus on Him. We don't focus on the people around us. We tend to think, it's all about me. Now, I'm going to give you a test. You don't have to raise your hands on this, and there is no grade, all right? Yes, I'm a teacher, and I'm not going to send your parents a report card, but I do want to give you this test. Have you ever hated anyone? Have you ever looked lustfully at a man or a woman? Have you ever worried and worried and worried and worried and worried and worried? You get the point. Have you ever wanted something that someone else so badly, oh, John's got that really cool Ferrari. Oh, I want that Ferrari. Have you ever wanted more money just because you wanted more money? Have you ever had sex with someone who is not your spouse? Have you ever thought that you were better than anybody else, or that nobody could do it as well as me? Have you ever spent a lot of money on yourself, on your looks, on your clothes? Have you ever not set aside a day? Like, for example, didn't go to church because you say, oh, I am so busy at work, I can't go to church today. I can't take time off to get caught. I'm so busy, I can't do this. Have you ever gossiped, criticized, lied, swore, or used obscene language? Have you ever physically, emotionally, or financially harmed your parents, spoke unkindly to them, or didn't help them, especially when they were in a position where they couldn't help themselves? Have you ever taken anything from the office just because you think they owe you? Oh, they don't pay me enough, so they're not going to miss these pens or these paper clips. Have you ever drunk too much? Have you ever argued and caused great conflict? Now, people are starting to kind of move around here, things like, okay? Have you ever been jealous? Have you ever been so angry that you were out of control? Have you ever wanted to win so badly that you did whatever it takes, no matter what, and no matter who you hurt? Have you ever argued with somebody so strongly that you never talked to that person again? Have you ever caused division, making people choose sides? Have you ever been envious? Have you ever had evil thoughts? Now, probably you have to understand that when I'm going like this, you've heard this before. How many fingers are pointing back at me?
Three.
That's right, okay? So this applies to me just as applies to anyone else. We've probably done several of these or more. The problem is, when we continue to do these thoughts or have these actions or these attitudes, it causes us to separate from God. We become dead. Our hearts become hard. We become self-centered. We really don't care about the people around us. And that is spiritual death. That is what Jesus wants to resurrect us from. That is where Jesus wants to give us life. Now, how do we become alive again? When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. We take a look in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that God has written eternity in our hearts. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it talks about God creating us in His image. We are active, creative, moral people. We have His moral laws written on our hearts. We know the difference between right and wrong, and we can make that choice. But even as Christians, we still tend to choose wrong more often than right. That's why Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, okay, this is my paraphrase, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't do it. And I know what I'm not supposed to do, but I do it. What's up with that? What's wrong with me? And then Jesus, he goes on to say that because of these things, he goes on and finishes that comment by saying, thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He realizes that we can't do it ourselves. Paul couldn't do it himself. He realized that the only way he could do it was by being alive with Christ. And so we take a look. Because of Jesus' death on the cross and our acceptance of that gift, he makes us alive. If we take a look back in the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, we take a look here that God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14, goes on and talks about after being dead, God made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Now, we take a look at this. God wants us to be alive. And we're not just talking about he wants us to be alive with him. He wants us to be alive today. Now, you're probably sitting there, you know, Rich, I'm really kind of tired. I have all this stuff that's going on in my life. I'm really not sure. I feel kind of dead already. I'm not sure. How can I be made alive? Well, we take a look. Jesus says, hear his voice. How do we hear his voice? Read his word. Listen to him as we pray. The Bible talks about be quiet and listen. But also Jesus says, it's not good enough just to hear. The word that's used for hear in the John chapter 25 verse is the same word that we get the word acoustic. You know, like acoustic guitar. Okay? It means not only to hear, but also to understand. And so when Jesus says, I want you to hear what I'm saying, I want you to understand what I'm saying. And then he goes on to say, I want you to act on what I'm telling you. Many people can listen. Many times through the scriptures, Jesus says, you don't hear because you don't have ears to hear. Can you imagine people with no ears? That's not what he's saying. He's saying people aren't listening. People aren't hearing what he's saying. He wants us to hear what he has to tell us, to understand it, and then to do something. This was made evident in his parable about the man in the house built on the rock in Matthew chapter 7. If you take a look, everyone then who hears, this is the same word, akustos, hears these words of mine and does them. Notice the connection. Not just hearing, understanding, and doing is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. James goes on to say, in chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, James says, not only, okay, I'm putting a paraphrase here, not only should we be hearers of the word, but we should also be doers. So we take a look. Jesus wants us to be alive. He's speaking to us. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to understand, and he wants us to do. Now let's take a look at verse 26, 5:26. He continues on with what he's saying here. For the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. God is life. That's why we call him the living God. But because he is the living God, he has also given that power and that authority to Jesus. Jesus is able to give life to any that he wants to. That's why Jesus is called life. In John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. Okay? He is called the bread of life in John 6. He's called the water of life in John chapter 4. He's called the fountain of life in Psalm 36. And he's called the author of life in Acts chapter 3. And finally, in 1 John chapter 1, he is called the word of life. Jesus is life. He wants us to get that. He goes on to say in John chapter 10, verse 17, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now, Jesus has the authority and the power not only to give his life, but also to take it up, to take it back. And because this was evidenced by his bodily resurrection, since he is able to do that for himself, he can also do that for us. Now, what kind of life are we talking about? What kind of life is Jesus talking about here? One type of life you may know in John 3:16. We're talking about eternal life. Eternal life is life forever with God in heaven. No more typhoons. No more earthquakes. No more pain. No more suffering. No more heartbreak. No more worry. Anybody do without some worry? Anybody want more worry? There's plenty around, okay? If we think about this, it's just like, wow, to have nothing of the pain and the suffering that we experience here on earth is what we look forward to in heaven. Now, some of you may think this is kind of odd, okay? Especially if you grew up in the 60s in America, right? Love and peace, okay? But really, in heaven, we will experience love beyond measure, peace beyond measure, joy beyond measure, because we will be with him who is love and joy and peace. But the other kind of life is spiritual life. We have our natural lives, but we have spiritual life. Jesus talks about it in John chapter 3 when it says, you must be born again. Now, he's not, as he told Nicodemus, he's not talking about going into the mother's womb and coming out again. No, he's talking about being reborn with a new spiritual life. Now, when we turn our lives over to him, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He then, when we let him, please understand, when we let him, will direct our lives, telling us what we need to do, giving us the choice to choose to do what he wants us to do or to do our own thing. But through it, when we do what he wants us to do, we grow closer to him, we have more peace, more joy. Okay? Now remember, I'm not saying no problems. If anybody believes that when you become a Christian, there'll be no problems, talk to a Christian here. Okay? Because there are problems that still happen. It's just how we're able to deal with them. And when we think about these things, we are able to live righteously the way that he wants us to do, caring for others around us. Now, I suspect that in recent months, especially with the Great East, the Tohoku earthquake, many of you have probably felt like, I want to do something. Christians and non-Christians can have that feeling because God has given us that desire to want to help. Some of you may have heard about the tornado in Missouri, in the United States last week. When I look at the pictures, it looks just like what happened up there in the Tohoku area. 125, 130 people were killed. And there are people saying, I got to do something. I want to go do something. And so when we walk with God, we have this desire to want to help. Help those that are around us. It doesn't take a disaster to make us feel like we have to help somebody. You may have a friend that's going through a hard time right now. If I ask you to think about it right now, do you know somebody who's going through a hard time right now? Do you realize that you're in a position to help that person? Do you want to help that person? I hope you do. So it gives us this desire to want to help those around us, to help those in need. That is the spiritual life that God wants us to have. Now, we go on in verse 27. And he, God, God the Father, has given him, God the Son, Jesus, authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Judgment. Judgment. I don't know about you, but I like to watch Japanese news. Part of it is for Japanese language practice. Part of it is for to find out what's happening. But whenever I see the scenes of the saiban, the juries and the court, it's just like, no smiling there. And rightly so. Because you can correct me if I'm wrong, but usually the people who come into those have already been found guilty. And it's just a matter of getting the sentence. So the people who come in have already been judged. It's just that how long are they going to go to jail or worse? So when we take a look at this word judgment, it's not a good feeling. But we look at it, that Jesus has the authority to judge because he's the Son of Man. Well, hold on a second. Son of God. Oh, Son of Man. If you read in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it talks about the Son of Man with the Ancient of Days. We sang the song Ancient of Days this morning. Jesus is the Son of Man. This title refers to the Messiah. All the Jews knew about the Son of Man, the coming Messiah, who was going to establish his kingdom as Israel, and all the nations were going to come down and serve him. Jesus used that title 80 times in the Gospels. And so we look at The Jews, every time he said it, Son of Man, yeah, Messiah. Son of Man, yeah, Messiah. Son of Man, yeah, Messiah. But Jesus had bigger plans than that. He didn't just want to save Israel. He wanted to save the whole. No wonder they were confused. But we realize that with this authority, this title comes authority. Now he goes on to say in verse 28, in 5:28, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. Now, again, nobody's been resurrected. Can you imagine if you were there at the time with Mary and Martha and Lazarus was coming out of his tomb? That would be pretty amazing. Now, we're not talking about some Hollywood horror zombie show, okay? We're talking about something that is really amazing. But even as amazing as that is, Jesus is referring to a second astounding incident, what we refer to as Jesus' second coming, when he will come back again. 5% of the New Testament, 300 references, make reference to Jesus' second coming. 23 of the 27 books in the New Testament talk about Jesus' second coming. He wants us to get it, that he is coming back. Now, he told us, I'm coming back. But he didn't tell us when. Not like some of you may have heard about Harold Camping in America. This American preacher, now I'm not going to question his Christianity, but he says that Jesus was coming back May 21st. What's today? May 29th. I don't know about you, but I think he was wrong. Okay? If you read the news article, he's kind of predicted, oh, I was wrong. It's October 21st. Yeah, okay. Jesus himself says, nobody knows when I'm coming back. But he did say, be ready. Be ready. So, how do we get ready? First of all, we need to realize that we are responsible for our actions. We are responsible for our choices. We are responsible whether or not to accept Jesus' gift of salvation. We need to recognize that we are sinners, not able to save ourselves, need a Savior to save us, and once we do accept Him, to live a life pleasing to Him in obedience and love. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. You'll keep my commandments. So we think about this is what he wants us to do, to be ready for him to come back. Now we go on in verse 29. Now we talked about hearing his voice coming out of tombs. Okay, so they're going to come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Okay, so what is this doing good? Well, the first criteria is believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, period. Secondly, is to do what he tells us to do. Now, please understand that good works is not going to save us. You may feed hundreds of people. You may sacrifice all kinds of things for other people. But if you don't do it through faith in Jesus, it's not good enough. Jesus wants us to know that our works are going to verify that we are his. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In James 2:18, it goes on to say, but someone will say to you, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Again, our works don't save us, but our works are proof that we belong to Jesus. Probably you could find lots and lots of references. Matthew chapter 25 talks about the sheep and the goats. Jesus says, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was sick, you came and visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me." And they said, "Well, when did we do that?" He says, "When you did it to somebody else, you did it to me." Now, one of the things that some of you, it's been a long time since I've been up here giving a message. I do like to use a lot of Bible verses, and yeah, I do have a lot of Bible verses here. But here are some verses that you can take a look regarding good works. Proverbs, chapters 10, verse through 31. Almost all of Proverbs gives examples of good works. Ephesians 2:10. James 2:18. Mark 12:30 through 31, and on and on and on and on and on. I'll be happy to send you these verses if you like. But these are the works that Jesus wants us to be aware of. These are the works that he wants us to do. Now we go on. Those who have done good works through the resurrection of life. But the scary part comes here. And those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. That means that those who have not believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior is everybody else who are going to be judged as evil. Oh, hold on a second. Oh, come on, Rich, I'm not evil. Yeah, I may not do everything right. And yeah, I may make a mistake every once in a while. I'm not perfect. But then who is? We have to understand whose standard are we comparing ourselves to. We have to realize that we need to compare ourselves to God's standard. In Romans 3:23, it says that, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." In Romans chapter 6, it talks about, "For the wages of sin is death." Because we are sinners, we deserve to die. But it goes on to say, in Romans chapter 5, that God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it goes on to say in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that God doesn't want anybody to die, to perish, but he wants everybody to live, to come into repentance. He wants to have a big family. He wants everybody to be part of that family. Now, when we take a look at this, we need to realize again what causes us to be dead. Our sin, our actions, our thoughts, anything that separates us from God will cause us to be dead. How can we be made alive again? Hearing Jesus' voice, reading his word, understanding what he's saying, taking it to heart, accepting him as our Lord and Savior, lovingly doing what he tells us to do. And then he tells us that we'll live. We're going to die. I don't know if many of you have seen the recent statistics on death, but 100% of the people living today is going to die. Okay? The real matter has to do with what happens after we die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says that it is destined for everyone to die, and after that, judgment. We will be judged by what we do. And the first thing that we need to do is to be sure that we're in relationship with Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Now, if you're a Christian, if anything that I've said may have sparked something inside of you, then I give glory to God. It's him. If you feel like that you're dead, that you're really not doing any good, reconcile yourself to him. Listen to Jesus' voice. and do what he tells you to do. Ask for his forgiveness. Confess and repent of any sins. And then turn back to him. If you're not a Christian yet, Jesus said, how many times in this verse alone? He said, now. Now is the time. Now is the time. In Hebrews verse 3, in chapter 3, verse 15, he says, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, writes that God created us. He knows your beginning and your end. He knows everything that's going to happen in between. He wants you to be with him. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. If you haven't yet accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, no better day than today. You can feel free to come talk to me, talk to any of your Christian friends here. You can talk to Joseph and Amy, and they'll be able to share with you, how do you know you're hearing Jesus' voice to come to him? If you are a Christian, and like I said, if you've walked away, now's the day to come back. Be happy to share and to help you in any way that we can. Let's pray. Glorious Father, you're beautiful in all that you do. Your love is so great, especially knowing that you don't want anybody to perish, that you want all to come into repentance, experiencing your gift of salvation and eternal life. Father, thank you for your word, which gives us life. Thank you for Jesus, his death on the cross and his resurrection. Thank you for our brothers and sisters here. Yes, many have faced trials and challenges and are still in hard times right now. But Father, you know them and you care for them and you want to help them. Father, we think about those who are still suffering as a result of the earthquake in the Tohoku area. And for all of those who are up there helping, yes, they may have food and clothing and shelter, but they're still so devastated inside that they need to know that you care and that you love them. Thank you for all the workers who are going up to minister there, Lord. And for us who are here, that we can continue to pray. Father, if there's anyone here who is hearing your voice for the first time, I pray that they will hear and understand and act and move to want to be with you. We give you all glory and praise and thanks for who you are and what you're going to do in our lives today and this day forth. Pray this all in Jesus' name.